بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فبالسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء رواه أبو داود والترمذي وبالسند المتصل منا إلى أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى وحشرنا في زمرته ومحبيه قال باب قول الله ونضعوا الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن وقال مجاهد القسطاس والعدل بالرومية ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. الله سبحانه وتعالى has taken it upon himself to safeguard this deen until the day of Qiyamah. And deen is ilm. Ilm is deen, deen is ilm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself to safeguard the deen and ilm. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala says, "Inna hadhal ilma deenun." This ilm is deen. So ilm is deen, deen is ilm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself to safeguard deen or safeguard ilm. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. The fountain of ilm is the glorious Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is we who have revealed the dhikr, the glorious Quran, and it is we who will safeguard it till the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken upon himself to safeguard ilm and safeguard deen. And in order to safeguard ilm or safeguard deen, throughout the 14 centuries, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen many individuals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has utilized these individuals to fulfill this promise of His. From amongst these fortunate individuals, one is Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. His name was Muhammad. His father's name was Ismail. And because he was born in Bukhara, he is known as Bukhari. But the Ummah recognizes him as Imam Bukhari. Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, an undisputed personality in the science of hadith, in the field of hadith. It is the unanimous opinion of the whole ummah that he is Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith. And such individuals are known as muwaffaq. Those individuals who are given special tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to serve the deen. Serve ilm and serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And throughout the 14 centuries till today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen dozens of people for this work. Even today you find thousands of ulama. Thousands of ulama engaged in safeguarding this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not one, not two, not dozens. Some are more muwaffaq than the others and they become famous, like Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. But there are thousands scattered throughout the world. And you will not find a single phase through these 1400 years, a phase of 1 month or 1 year or a decade or a century, where you are able to say that this phase was void of ulama who were safeguarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest contribution in safeguarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest contribution in safeguarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and conveying the deen from one generation to the other in its entirety is the contribution of the ulama only. And no one will be able to dispute this fact. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala himself, he says that I acquired ilm from 1080 teachers. I acquired the ahadith from 1080 teachers. And these 1080 teachers were scattered throughout the Muslim world of that time. So until the age of 16, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala remained in Bukhara. He was a teenager. He was in his early teens. His katib Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that I heard Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi saying, أُلْهِمْتُ حِبْزَ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَنَا فِي الْمَكْتَبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired me to memorize the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst I was still in the maktab. Maktab. I was in my very early days. I was a child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired me and I began memorizing the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala says that someone asked him that how old were you at the time? Because a child could be in the maktab from the age of 5 to the age of 12, 13, 14. How old were you? So he said, I was approximately 10 years old. I was either 10 years old or aqal. Or less than 10 years old. The great Muhaddith Abu Bakr ibn Abi Iyash rahimahullah ta'ala says that we began learning ahadith and writing ahadith from Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala whilst he was still an amrad. Amrad is that person whose beard has not come out. So he was still very young when we began writing hadith from him, taking a hadith from him. So until the age of 16, from the age of 10 until the age of 16, he accumulated whatever he was able to in Bukhara and around Bukhara. And his teachers could observe the special talents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him as far as the field of hadith was concerned during those days. And then at the age of 16, he traveled to Makkah Mukarramah to perform Hajj with his mother and with his older brother Ahmed. And after Hajj, he said to his mother and he said to his brother Ahmed that you may return to Bukhara. I would like to remain in Makkah Mukarramah to accumulate the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he spent full 2 years in Makkah Mukarramah, sitting in the company of the muhaddisin who were well known at the time in Makkah Mukarramah. And he drank from their ocean and he did not leave a single drop which he did not acquire. And from there he, at the age of 18, he traveled to Medina Munawwara and he sat in the company of the well-known muhaddisin of the time who were in Medina Munawwara. Thereafter he did not leave a single well-known city or well-known muhaddis throughout the Islamic world where he did not travel. He went to Basra, he went to Baghdad, he went to Naisabur, he went as far as Egypt. And he himself says, I do not know how many times I went to Baghdad and Basra. I went to Baghdad and Basra, I returned after spending a few days, a few months, and then I came to know of another muhaddith, so I traveled again to Basra, Baghdad. From 1,080 teachers, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi accumulated 600,000 ahadith. He memorized 600,000 ahadith with sanad and matan. The sanad, the chain of narration, and the matan, the text of the hadith. And 600,000 ahadith he memorized and he knew by heart, just as we have memorized Suratul Fatiha. My friends, in order for this deen to reach us in its entirety, the ulama have exerted much effort. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain individuals and He inspires them. Even today you find ulama who find studying ilm and studying books on tafsir, books on hadith, books on fiqh more enjoyable than going for a picnic in the park. Even today, in this day and age, this is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a form of ecstasy for them. They enjoy so much. And as a result of this enjoyment, they study. As a result of this enjoyment, they study, they preserve and they pass on. Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala, when he passed away, somebody saw him in his dream that he was performing salat on the first heaven and he was leading the malaika. Ibn Asakir, Hafiz of Hadith, great muhaddis, well known name. So Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala, somebody saw him that he is performing salat, he is leading the malaika in salat on the first heaven. So the person who saw him in the dream, he asked Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you this status? As a result of which amal? Tahajjud, dhikrullah, which amal? Salat. So he said that during my life, I have written with my own fingers, with my own hand, 1 million ahadith. I have written 1 million ahadith. So imagine how many teachers he must have visited. Because in those days the trend was that the muhaddith would dictate and the students would write. So he said that with this very hand I wrote 1 million ahadith. And he said every time I came across the name of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the minimum number of time Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala sent salutations upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 1 million times. That was the meaning. That was when writing the hadith. And sometimes we come across a hadith wherein we send salutations 10 times, 5 times, 4 times, depending on how many times the name of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned. So he said, 1 million ahadith I have written with my own hand. And every time I came across the name of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man salla alayya salatan sallallahu alayhi biha ashara. He is conveying this in his dream, in this person's dream. He is saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one who sends salat once upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 rahmat upon him. So that means the minimum number of rahmats and the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had acquired whilst writing the ahadith is 10 million. So a person who acquires 10 million rahmats from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would he do? Would he not leave the malaika in the heavens? Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala. And all the other ibadat on one side, his salat, his fasting, his zakat, his hajj, his umrah, his tilawat, his salat ala nabi, salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during times other than writing the ahadith. This Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala, the zeal and the interest and the taste that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them, the enjoyment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them when learning or teaching. They find lot of enjoyment in learning and they find lot of enjoyment in teaching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses these certain personalities for 2 things. One is that they accumulate and secondly they distribute. They import and impart. Import and impart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them an unquenching thirst for importing ilm and thereafter unquenching thirst for imparting ilm. You can never forget the ihsanat and the favors of the ulama upon us, whether we know them or not. The whole ummah is indebted to the ulama and the whole ummah will remain indebted to the ulama until the final breath. This Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala, he traveled from Sham, the great Sham. He traveled from Sham to Naisapur. And in Naisapur was a muhaddith Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala. And as I said that teacher and the student, teachers and the students, or teacher and the student, if they were muwaffaq, if they were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless them with this unquenching thirst, to impart and import, impart and import. Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala was a great muhaddith. He was also a chosen personality. So he had immense zeal to pass on whatever he had to the students as much as possible. But Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala himself says that Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala was such a student and he had so much zeal to acquire ahadith from me that I got tired of him within 3 days. I am not talking about a teacher like me who may find it burdensome to teach one period or two periods a day. I am talking about Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala who was in search for students who had great zeal and who would suck everything away from him and take away all the ilm that he had. He says that he had so much zeal that he was always ready to learn from me, and if I said that let's break off for a while, he would say a few more pages. I got tired. And he said, I got so tired of him within 3 days that I took oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I said that if this student comes to me tomorrow to learn from me, I will not open my door for him. Because it's very difficult to get him off your back. This is the zeal Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala had. And as a result of this zeal, and because they were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muwaffaq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself would supervise them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would create means whereby they would acquire the attention of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala says, the following morning someone knocked at my door and he said, I looked through the window to see whether if it was Ibn Asakir or someone else. He said, no, it was someone else. So I opened the door. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. And this newcomer said, Ana Rasul Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ilayka. He said that I am a messenger from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream last night and he has sent me to you with a message. Imam Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala welcomed him. Come inside please, you are a messenger from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has specifically mentioned my name, that go to Abu Abdullah al-Farawi and convey this message to him. What is the message? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَدِمَ بَلَدَكَ رَجُلٌ شَامِيٌ أَسْمَرُ اللَّوْنِ يَطْلُبُ حَدِيثِي فَلَا تَمَلَّ عَنْهُ. He said that the message from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that a man has come to you from Sham. His complexion is brown and he has only come to acquire my hadith from you. So do not get tired of him. Do not turn your face away from him. This was the message from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, whenever Ibn Asakir rahimahullah ta'ala came in the company of his teacher Abu Abdullah al-Farawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he would continue teaching him until Ibn Asakir said, enough for today. His culture with all these, trend with all the other students was that whenever he felt, he would say, enough today, go. I will teach you tomorrow. I will teach you in the afternoon. But the eyewitness says, مَا كَانَ وَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَ أَبُوْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ يَقُومُ مِنْ مَجْلِسِهِ حَتَّى يَقُومَ إِبْنُ عَسَاكِرِ. Until Ibn Asakir would not get up from his majlis, the teacher Imam Abu Abdullah would not get up. This is the zeal they had. This is the zeal. My friends, my message to every individual who is sitting here in this gathering today, male or female, brother or sister, young or old, become a talib ilm. Each and every person become talibul ilm. The greatest tragedy of the ummah today is ignorance. All the disputes that we see, all the ikhtilafat that we see, all the wrangling amongst ourselves is because of ignorance. Allama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إذا اتسع العلم اتسع الصبر. The more the ilm increases, the more the heart becomes wide. You find more space in the heart to accept everybody. Because you will look at everybody in the light of the ilm that you have. For example, if a person was to live in a village and he was able to observe only those people who follow the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, and if he came across a musalli in that village who was performing salat, said Ameen audibly, you can imagine what would happen in that masjid. But here we all know that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said Ameen silently also, and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen loudly also. And according to Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, it is more better to say Ameen loudly. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, it is more better to say Ameen silently. So because we have this knowledge, we can accept a person saying Ameen loudly. We will not argue with him. But if you go in a remote village and if you say Ameen loudly, there will be argument. Ilm. I urge each and every person. Ulama, non-ulama. Become a talibul ilm and remain a talibul ilm until you breathe your last. Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, after he became the imam of his time, somebody said, Ila mata, Yabna Idris. Until when are you going to continue acquiring ilm? He said, Ilal mamat. Until my last breath. Imam Muhammad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was asked, Ila mata ibn Hanbal? Until when, O ibn Hanbal? So he picked up his input and he said, Ma'al mihbarati ilal makhbarati. He said, until my qabr, I will continue seeking ilm. Until qabr, I will continue seeking ilm. And they did. Until qabr, ilm. And as I said, only two things were important in their lives. I want to acquire and I want to pass on. Sheikh Salim is senior to me and I am his junior. So the logic demands that Sheikh Salim will depart before me. That is how a young person thinks, that my Sheikh may depart before me. 90-95%, there are more chances that my Sheikh will depart before me. So before he departs, I must take everything that he has. And that is the nature and the thinking of the senior also, that I will depart before him most probably. So before I leave, I must give as much as I can. Impart. These were the only two things that they were concerned about. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala is in his final moments and one of his students goes to meet him. He was unwell. One of his students goes to meet him. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, how are you? And immediately Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah asks him a question. This is one method of teaching somebody something, that you ask a question and if he answers correctly, you say yes, that is correct. If he answers incorrectly, you give him the correct answer. So he began teaching him. He asked the question. His student, he was also an alim. The student replied. So Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi said, Akhta'ata, you have made an error. Even at the time of death, this is 5 minutes before passing away. 5 minutes before passing away, he was so firm in his ilm that he knew what he was talking about. He said, you have made an error. So he gave another answer. He said, you have made an error again. So the student said, then you tell me what the answer is. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah explained the answer in detail. And it is sunnah not to sit for too long with someone who is unwell, because you may inconvenience him. So the scholar said, who was his student, that can I take leave? He said, yes, you can take leave. He said that I left him on the bed, and I left from his bedroom, and I had just reached the door of the house when announcement was made in the house that Abu Yusuf has passed away. Last moments also, they are only concerned about imparting and importing, importing and imparting. My dear daughters who are graduating today from the Madani Madrasa, as Maulana Salim Sahib Hafizahullah Ta'ala, Maulana Imdadur Rahman Sahib Hafizahullah Ta'ala, who have rightly said that you are not graduating today. Graduation means it's finished. Graduation means finished, all over. I always say to the students in my madrasa at the Islamic Dawah Academy that you have graduated the day you took admission in the madrasa. Graduated means that you are finished with everything the day you took admission in the madrasa, and now this engagement of importing and imparting will continue until we breathe our last. Graduation in madaris is called faragat. Faragat. Farig ho gaye. We became farig the day we took admission in the madrasa. We became farig from every other engagement. And now the only engagement will be learning and teaching, learning and teaching, learning and teaching, learning and teaching. And there is no greater honor than this. And as far as risk is concerned, my colleague ulama and my students who are studying in this madrasa, in other madaris, leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste you or your family. Become a civil servant. When a person becomes a civil servant, the government looks after him. If you become civil servant, if you become the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serve his deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after all our affairs. He will look after all our affairs. Yes, yes, it is the sunnah and the trend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he tests his special servants now and then. But he will not waste them. He will not waste, he will give them a very, very comfortable life. Maybe from the resource aspect, they may not have as much as a millionaire would have, but as far as the contentment of the heart is concerned, the peace of mind is concerned, the tranquility is concerned, the barakah is concerned, the happiness is concerned, and the inner satisfaction is concerned, and the deeni and the spiritual enjoyment is concerned, no one will be able to match his. So I urge each and every person, acquire ilm, become a talibul ilm. Please make intention that inshallah we will become talibul ilm from today. We need to remove this mindset. We need to change this mindset. The talibul ilm is for students and the ulama, not for us. Our talibul ilm is finished when we left the maktab. No, talibul ilm should remain until we, and we are more in need. We are more in need of ilm than the ulama, because the ulama already have ample ilm. We are more in need. And in order to acquire ilm, one thing we must make sure is that we acquire ilm through the correct avenues. Correct avenues. We need to look for ulama-i haqqa. We need to look for ulama who follow the trend of the true Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. True Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There are so many avenues of acquiring ilm in the market, especially on the internet, on social media, and it is very, very difficult to differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. It is very difficult to differentiate between what is haq and what is batil. So in order to do that, we need to keep in touch with the ulama that we know. For example, many of you sitting here do not know me as well as you would know Maulana Imdadur Rahman, as well as you would know Mufti Sahib, as well as you would know Maulana Salim. So before benefiting from anybody, ask this local ulama that is this person authentic as far as ilm is concerned, as far as akida is concerned.
take guidance from them. We don't go to any consultant without the guidance of our GP. GP is inferior, consultant is superior. But who directs us and who sends us to the consultant? It is the GP. Without the direction of the GP, we do not go to any consultant. So if you feel that my local Maulana is very junior, why should I ask him? This person is very famous. He is very famous throughout the world. He may be famous, but maybe his aqidah may not be correct. Maybe his ideology is against the ideology of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So treat your local imam as a GP and take his guidance before referring yourself to a consultant. Make mashwara with him. Ask him that is it okay to read the works of this person? Is it okay to read the, to listen to this person's lecture? Is it okay to take admission in this course? And I am saying this, my friends, out of concern for all of you. I am saying this out of concern. And in this day and age, there is one dua which should be on the lips of every Muslim. Oh Allah, grant me the ability to differentiate between haq and batil. Oh Allah, grant me the ability to understand what is haq and what is batil. And after granting me the ability to understand what is haq and what is batil, grant me the tawfiq and the ability to follow haq and abstain from batil. It is very, very important that each person makes this dua. So we need to, my friends, acquire ilm. Without ilm, we will not be able to succeed, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. And ilm, we take from authentic, reliable ulama. Another very important point that I would like to mention here, when it comes to ilm, that ilm is more beneficial which is acquired from heart to heart. From heart to heart. So you sit in the company of an alim and you learn from him direct. Only in dire circumstances should a person acquire ilm without the medium of heart. Heart to heart. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain acquired ilm direct from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Tabi'in direct from the Sahaba. Our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent as a Rasul for the entire mankind. And his mu'jizat, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had the kudra of giving him this mu'jiza that stand on the Mount Safa or sit in Masjid al-Nabawi and start lecturing and I will make your words reach the whole world. Allah was Qadir, Allah could have done this. And he was sent as a Rasul for the whole of humanity. But no, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made his deen reach every corner of the world, but through heart to heart. Heart to heart, through Sahaba. And then where the Sahaba were not able to reach, the Tabi'in reached. Where the Tabi'in were not able to reach, the Taba Tabi'in reached. And where the Taba Tabi'in were not able to reach, the others reached. And then the future generations, heart to heart, ulama, 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 ulama. If you listen to me on social media, if you listen to me on internet, you may acquire the information that I'm passing on to you. That is the words of ilm. But you will not be able to acquire the noor of ilm. Noor of ilm will be acquired through the sawba only. Unless a person is in dire circumstance, for example, a lady will not be able to come and sit in front of a sheikh or an alim. So if she behind the veil or if she at home remaining within the Islamic hijab was to listen, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, as a result of her circumstances, will grant her what he will grant the menful. So try to find ulama. You will always find ulama throughout the country in every area. You will find ulama yahad, inshallah. We don't search for them. We are only looking at fame today. Fame. Who is very famous? So we only have 10 to 15 ulama in our minds that yes, this is a great alim. This is a great alim. This is big alim. This is big maulana. This is big. And when we hear about those people who are not so famous, maybe because they are not orators, they have ilm, they have taqwa, they have everything that we require. But maybe because they have not become famous. So we feel that he is inferior. He is a small Maulana. Ordinary Maulana. My friends, look for ulama. You will find ulama, ulama who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama who have the fikr of the hereafter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, man nujalisu ya Rasulullah? O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose company shall we adopt? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three qualities. Number one, he said, adopt the company of those people whose company remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you sit in their company reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their company makes you more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their company makes you eager of acquiring the pleasure and the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, sit in the company of those people whose company remind you of the hereafter and creates concern for the hereafter. And number three, sit in the company of those people. Sit in the company of those people whose communication and whose words always increase you in your knowledge. You will find many ulama with these three. They may not be famous. This is the easy sign. Easy sign. Hakim ul-Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, when choosing a sheikh for your spiritual rectification, he used to say that I have learned from my sheikh Haji Imdadullah Muhajiri Makki rahmatullahi alayhi that a person should not look for a person who is afdal. He should look for someone who is anfa. When choosing a sheikh, the similar principle will apply when choosing a teacher also. When choosing a sheikh for your spiritual rectification, self-reformation, or when choosing a teacher for your knowledge, do not look for the most virtuous or the best, most knowledgeable. No, look for that person who is most beneficial to you. There may be a very big Maulana in Bangladesh, in India, in Pakistan, in Saudi Arabia, not beneficial to you and me. And there is a Maulana of a lesser degree who lives in this very area and who lectures every week in my local masjid. He will be more beneficial to us. So don't look for afdal. Yes, if afdal are available in our country and they are in reach, alhamdulillah. So if somebody comes from Bangladesh or somebody comes from India for a week or two and you are able to sit in their company, benefit from them also. But this trend, that if somebody comes from abroad who is great, I will benefit, otherwise no. No, only famous people. This is a sign of pride and arrogance. That I am so big, that I will only sit in the company of big people. So acquire ilm, my friends. Acquire ilm from your local ulama. Acquire ilm from your local ulama. You know them. You know that they are God-fearing. You know that they have concern for the hereafter. You know that they have enough to fulfill your needs. They have enough to fulfill your needs. Sit in their company, associate with them and acquire ulama. Sisters also. And after associating yourself to a particular alim or one or two ulama, seek guidance from them and under their guidance study books of tafsir, books of hadith, books of fiqh. And wherever you are unable to understand any discussion, then you must refer to those ulama. They will become your teachers, your ustad, your asatida. This is number one. Acquire as much ilm as possible. And number two, practice that ilm. Practice that ilm. Al-ilm bila amal kashajari bila thamar. Ilm without amal is like a tree without fruit. If we have a tree in our garden that does not bear fruit, we will chop that tree off, throw it away, and we will bring another tree. Similarly, my friends, an alim who does not practice upon his ilm, or that person who does not practice upon, Allah will remove him. Allah will take out his love from the hearts of the people. And Allah will bring another alim from whom people will be able to benefit. So we need to amal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, great muhaddith, Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, they both say, and there are many other muhaddithin also who are similar, that we have not come across a single hadith upon which we did not practice.
hundreds of thousands of ahadith they acquired, and there is not a single hadith which we have not practiced. In Bukhari Sharif we have 7000 ahadith, and if you take out the Mukarrarat, you will be left with 2 to 3000 ahadith. If the Talibat, and in many cases if the, even the teacher was asked that have you practiced every hadith of Bukhari Sharif which was possible to practice, even he will say no. We are talking about hundreds of thousands of ahadith, not a single hadith which I have not practiced. Abu Usman Khiri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a very saintly figure and also a very pious personality. He led his Isha Salat, and whilst leading the Isha Salat, he was wearing ihram. So he had covered the bottom part of his body with one sheet, and he had covered the top part of his body with another sheet. So a young boy, he performed his Isha Salat behind him, because that was his local masjid. And he went home and he said to his father that Abu Usman kad ahrama. He said, Abu Usman, I saw Abu Usman in ihram. Is he going for Umrah Hajj? So his father was a great muhaddis. He said, no, Abu Usman is neither going for Hajj or Umrah. So he said, but I saw him in ihram in Isha. He was not wearing izar or trousers or shalwar. He was in ihram. I saw him myself. So he said, no, my son. Abu Usman, rahimahullahu ta'ala, it is his habit that whenever he comes across a hadith, he will within 24 hours practice. So he said that he is studying a book of hadith by me. He is regularly coming and he is studying. And today I taught him one hadith that the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam led us in salat, whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing lundi, one sheet at the bottom and one sheet at the top. So he said he is practicing the abundant hadith. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And the ulama and the students, they are one stage higher than the common people. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. So they should be a step higher, not only in ilm, they should be a step higher in amal also. Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say that the salat of an alim should be different from the salat of a non-alim. So if a person looks at the salat of a person, he should immediately conclude that this person is an alim. Why? Because his salat is much better than the common people. The salat of an alim should be different from the salat of a non-alim. So the life of an alim should be different from the life of a common person. Abu Asim al-Nabil, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, Man talaba hadha al-hadith, talaba ala umuri al-deen. Man talaba hadha al-hadith, one who is given the opportunity to acquire the ilm of hadith. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him the opportunity to acquire a section of deen which is very, very high. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has associated him with a section of deen which is very, very high, so what is necessary for him? فَيَجِبُ أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرَ النَّاسِ. Then it is necessary that he should be best amongst the people that he lives in. So all of us, ulama, non-ulama, we need to acquire ilm, and number two, we need to practice that ilm. Practice that ilm as much as possible. Practice ilm. And number three, we need to pass that ilm on to other people. So if the husband learns something new today, he should pass it on to his wife. If the wife learns something new, she should pass it on to the husband. If the children learn something new, they should pass it on to the parents. The parents should pass it on to the children. Friends should pass it on to friends. Nephews to uncles, aunts, aunts, uncles to nephews. Let us create this environment. If something happens in Bangladesh, and if I come to know, if something happens in Pakistan, if I come to know, something happens in Saudi Arabia, wherever I will sit for the next 24 hours, I will talk about that issue. Elections are taking place in Pakistan. So wherever the Pakistani brothers sit, there is only one topic, election. Today this has happened, today this has happened, today this has happened, today this has happened. What is happening, what is happening, what is happening?
If only the Muslims were associated to the ilm of deen in a similar manner. If the Muslims were associated to ilm of deen in a similar manner, my friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this feeble efforts of ours would change the circumstances of the Muslim Ummah. So please, go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah, we will exert every effort to acquire ilm. In order to acquire ilm, we need to sit in the company of reliable, authentic ulama, and also under their guidance, go to other ulama and also take admission in courses and read books as much as possible. And number two, we need to practice what we learn. We need to practice what we learn. We need to practice what we learn. And number three, we need to pass on this knowledge to as many people as possible. In gifts also, buy books written by authentic, reliable ulama and give us gifts, wedding gifts, Eid gifts. Give gifts. Give books as gifts. Give books as gifts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, this is what he did also. He imported the knowledge and thereafter he imparted the knowledge. Imam Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Fibri rahimahullahu ta'ala says that during his life, 90,000 people acquired the ilm of Sahihul Bukhari from him. 90,000 people learned Sahihul Bukhari direct from Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So he did not only import ilm, he imparted ilm also. And with import and impart, amal was there. Three things. One is acquire ilm. So 600,000 ahadith. From 600,000 ahadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has presented to us Sahihul Bukhari, which consists of approximately 7,000 ahadith. Practice, Allahu Akbar. He says that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question me regarding riba. Because in my life I have never backbited anybody. Now if somebody, to abstain from ghibah is very difficult. Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sayyid Rahmatullah Ali says that ghibah is from major sins and it is that major sin from which even the khawas, even the pious people, the ulama, they even find it difficult to abstain from it. So if a person is able to abstain from ghibah, that means he must have abstained from all the other filthy things. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him for ilm, for amal, and also to convey. And the level of sincerity that he must have had. Sincerity is very difficult also. Sincerity in that I am doing this only for the pleasure of Allah. There is no fame. The level of sincerity, the level of acceptance. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala was compiling Muwatta, and somebody said to him that other ulama are also compiling Muwatta. So Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala said, no problem, the more the merrier. Good, alhamdulillah. So many ulama are compiling Muwatta. But he said, remember one thing, only that person's Muwatta will remain in this world with acceptance who has ikhlas in his heart. And only Imam Malik's Muwatta remains in this world today. Muwatta Imam Malik is his and Muwatta Imam Muhammad is also his. Only one Muwatta. So look at, imagine the level of ikhlas that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi had, that his Bukhari Sharif is accepted throughout the world by one and all. Everyone is unanimous that this is Sahihul Bukhari. This is Asahul Kutubi Bada Kitabillah. So friends, acquiring ilm through authentic, reliable sources. Number two, practicing that ilm. Practice. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, daily he would perform Salatul Taraweeh and daily he would recite 10 juz. He would recite 10 juz daily in Tahajjud in the month of Ramadan. He would perform Salatul Taraweeh, the level of Ibadat. He was an academic. Nowadays we academics, we ulama, we say, I can't do so much Zikr, I can't do Tahajjud, I can't do so much recitation because I have to teach so many books. Imam Bukhari was an academic also. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in the month of Ramadan daily Taraweeh. So that's one Quran. Every day 10 juz. So every third day he would complete the Quran in Tahajjud. So another 10 khatams, so 11 khatams. And he would complete one Quran daily from Maghrib to Maghrib. So in the month of Ramadan, he would complete 41 Quran. His level of dedication towards ibadah, the mind cannot comprehend. So acquire ilm, practice, and pass on. Pass on authentic ilm to as many people as possible. If we do this, my friends, with sincerity, then on the day of Qiyamah, our scales will become very heavy. Babun qawlullahi wa nadawul mawazin al-qista liyawmil qiyamati wa anna amala bani adama wa qawlahum yuzan. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says that a day is going to come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish the scales, and good deeds and evil deeds will be weighed. The amal and the aqwal, the amal and the aqwal, the words and the practice and the amal will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. And if ikhlas is there, innamal amalu bin niyyat, and if the amal is there according to the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the scales will become very heavy on the day of Qiyamah. This is what Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, this is the message that he desires to give us right at the end. That only studying Bukhari Sharif, and only reading through Bukhari Sharif, and only graduating as someone who has completed Bukhari Sharif is not sufficient. With sincerity, you will have to practice upon the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, then your scales will become heavy on the day of Qiyamah. And a person will not be able to become successful until the scales are heavy. Until the scales are heavy. Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Lalkai, rahimahullahu ta'ala, narrates on the authority of Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be made to stand in front of the scale, and his amal will be weighed in the presence of an angel. And if the right hand side pan of the scale becomes heavy, that means the pan with the good amal, good deeds become heavy, then the angel will make an announcement with which all the people in the field of mahshar will be able to hear. All the angels, all the jinns, all the humans. And he will say that this person has become successful, and he will never see doom again. He will never see failure again. This person has acquired success, he will never see failure again. And if the left hand side scale, the left hand side pan of the scale becomes heavy, that means the pan containing the evil deeds become heavy, then this angel will say that this person has become unsuccessful, this person has failed, and he will never ever see success again. He will be doomed to the fire of Jahannam forever and ever. So let us concentrate on our ikhlas, tazkiyah, on our amal, sit in the company of the ulama, acquire ilm, sit in the company of the mashayikh, go through tazkiyah, soul purification, so that our amal becomes heavy on the day of Qiyamah. Because it is our aqidah, the aqidah of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the amal and the aqwal of Banu Adam will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in the last hadith also says, kalimatane, there are two sentences. Kalima here is in the meaning of kalam. Kalimatane, there are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, which are very light on the tongue. So even something which is very light means an amal which is very insignificant. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim, very insignificant. In comparison to the four rakat of Zuhar, where we come all the way from home into the masjid in cold weather, hot weather, perform wuzu. If needed, we have a bath as well, and we perform four rakat Zuhar, ruku, sajda. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim, really very insignificant. But in this hadith, from this hadith we learn that significant or insignificant, every amal and every call will be put in the mizan and in the scale on the day of Qiyamah. Saqilatane, khafifatane ala lisan, very very light on the tongue. But saqilatane fil mizan, very heavy in the scale. Heavy in the scale. Heavy in the scale. Heavy in the scale if it is uttered correctly with ikhlas. Saqilatane fil mizan. What are the two sentences?
Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim. So friends, if Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim, uttered correctly, with the correct intention, becomes heavy in the mizan, then what about salat, and what about tilawat, what about fasting, what about zakat, what about this, that, and evil deeds, adultery, fornication, gambling, cheating, lying, these amal will also become very heavy. So never look down upon any good deed, how insignificant it may be, carry it out. And never look down upon any sin, how insignificant it may be. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Ya Aisha, iyaki wa muhaqqarati dhunub. Save yourself from those sins which are looked down upon. It is only a small sin. It is only a minor sin. It is only an save yourself from those. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you regarding those sins also on the day of Qiyamah. Even regarding those things. Any thought that enters our mind, if it is good, carry it out. And if it is bad, ignore it. Any thought, how insignificant it is. You are driving and your car has stopped on the traffic light, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires you that I want to say subhanallah once. Say it. Huh? Allah inspires you that say subhanallah. And what does shaitan say? You don't perform salat, you don't give zakat, you don't stay away from adultery, you don't safeguard your gaze from unlawful places. What's the point of saying subhanallah? This is from shaitan. No, say subhanallah, because this subhanallah that you are being inspired with will open the doors of Jannah for you, inshallah. Guest, it is a guest, entertain it. When you entertain a guest, the guest comes a second time. So any thought that enters your mind, it is a guest from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, entertain it. So it comes again. Subhanallah, it will come back again. Subhanallah, it will come back again. And as far as evil deeds are concerned, that is also a guest. Don't entertain, so it doesn't come back again. So there are two sentences beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. If these two sentences are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala, then anyone who utters these two sentences will also become beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. They are very, very light on the tongue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us. It's not something very difficult. Very, very light. You are lying down on your couch, nothing. Say subhanallah wa bihamdihi. You don't have to perform wuzu, you don't have to perform ghusl. You are in pure state, you are in impure state, no condition. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. You are in the park, you are working, you are cooking, you are sleeping, trying to sleep, in any condition. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Very easy, but saqilatana fil mizan. Very heavy, very heavy. So less money, but more return. Less money, more return. Only give 100 pounds and 500% return. So here, very light, but return is big. Saqilatana fil mizan. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is ending his Sahih al-Bukhari with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. And giving us all this indication that the person who will follow the whole deen as mentioned by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with ikhlas, then his end will come with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, wa subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim, or Allahumma bir rafiq al-ala. And if that happens, then his right hand side pen will become very, very heavy on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت العز الأكرم اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا، اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا، اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة، اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها، اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا، اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى، اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين، اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا، اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك، اللهم لا تهمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين، اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه، يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك، اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد، اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك، اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة ومن فتنة مضلة، اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم، اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك، ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا، اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع، اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن العلماء الربانيين ومن خدام دينك وعشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان، اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم، اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق ووحد صفوفهم، اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان، اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك، واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين، اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات، اللهم بارك لنا فيما أعطيتنا وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا، اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا، ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين، اللهم إنا نسألك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمته.